What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay. What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay podcast. I think I got it right. I have no idea. Okay. Mark Kark, you dumb son of a bitch.
Sleep with one eye open.
I know he did this on purpose. He had to have.
Of course.
So, and I think it was more directed towards you than it was me. But, okay. So, before we get into the movie that we're watching,
my lovely, I don't know if I want to admit this.
My lovely wife, Nancy, is with me. Thank you, Nash. My lovely wife, Nancy, is with me, and we have just watched a movie that,
we'll never get that. It was only like 70 minutes
long. It was, I think, 88 minutes at the very most.
But we will never get those 88 minutes back.
That leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Here's the would you rather for this movie, or for this episode. Would you rather get repeatedly kicked in the crotch by a man or a woman of your choosing? We'll say a man, just because they can probably kick harder. Or watch Sorority Babes in the Slimeball Bowlerama.
Yeah.
Once a day for 3 weeks.
Can you sleep during it, or do you have to pay attention?
Nope, you have to watch it.
All right, I'm getting kicked in the crotch.
Me too, because that movie was not good. That's the long and short of it.
I'd like to give Kirk a kick in the crotch.
This was a very easy would you rather. So the movie that we watched, yes, was The Sorority Babes in the Slimeball Bowlerama. And it almost took me a full sheet of paper just to write down the title of this movie. It scores a 4.9 on IMDb, and it was released in 1988. Literally the only reason we watch this movie is because Mark is our patron and he is paying for it.
Yeah, he's really getting his money's worth, isn't he?
And they can't all be a dumplings. So, God. And then they made a sequel to this movie. So Sorority Babes and Slimeball Bowlerama came out in 1988.
Can I just make note of how that flows off your tongue and you can't even pronounce the name of our show?
That's because I screwed it up once and now I'm nervous. I'm gonna say it wrong every time, and that's what I end up doing. Oh, those look real. Jeez. I don't know which is worse, or fake boobs or the fake makeup.
That's real bad. Oh my lord. We got the sequel on right now that we're suffering through.
And the sequel has a lower rating than the original. The sequel is only a 3.3 on IMDb.
Well, yeah.
While the original was a 4.9.
If they were to see the characters and the plot line, then that would make perfect sense.
Okay.
I wouldn't even get a one. One. That's where I would.
So that's your rating?
Can I go less than one?
Well, I think one is our limit.
All right. One. Yeah.
And what about the gore score?
Gore score.
Now, you've always said you include cringe in that. The entire movie was very cringy.
But it's not intending to be cringy. You know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
So, in that respect, I would say a gore score of one. I will never have to watch that movie again as long as I live.
Mark, you really need to redeem yourself with your next pick. Because, yeah, I'm going to one. I'm going a one and a one as well. The movie was just not good. And I know it was supposed to be it was extremely campy, very, very, very 80s. I don't even know how you talk about this movie without just completely berating it and simultaneously throwing Kark under the bus at the same time.
And well, he pretty much asked for it. I don't feel bad.
But he did actually say, very specifically, when he listed the movie, that you were going to hate his guts. So, okay. So yeah,
that one.
sorority babes in the Slimeball Bowlerama from 1988 scores a 4.9 on IMDb. I don't think it's worth a 4.9. I don't think it's worth a 4.9.
Maybe they like consider campiness.
It's got to have some kind of following or some kind of, I mean, okay. So Spider, who is played by Linnea Quigley, obviously she's considered one of the Scream Queens. You know, she was in Silent Night, Deadly Night. She was in Return of the Living Dead. She was in Night of the Demons. Maybe that has a small part to do with it. But as far as the actual movie and the plot and everything like that, I just don't see.
There wasn't really a plot.
Well, there was a small plot, but as far as a real plot, I don't really see anything. I can't find the right one. Crow, cheer. Where the hell's the boo? No. 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 There's gotta be a boo on here. Clap, laugh, embarrassed. I don't fucking know. Whatever. Anyway. Oh, those are the ghosts of the actresses from the first movie.
You said this was made in 2020?
2022. Wow. This is horrible. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, we have the new one on in the background. It just popped up on Tubi.
It is, but so bad.
Okay, so, all right, let's get into the plot of this one. I'm sure Nancy will have plenty to say about this movie, the original Sorority Slimeball Babes in the Bowlerama of Sorority Chicks or whatever the fuck it's called. The best thing about this movie was the groovy 80s synth right in the beginning of the movie, or as the opening credits are playing. But then, God damn it, Mark. So we meet some frat guys and they're talking about boobs and this sorority called, well, they nicknamed it Felcha Delta. Felcha Delta. And this is Cal, Jimmy, and Keith, or so Cal.
Three losers.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. And they're talking about this initiation that's supposed to be all sexy and it's all, you know, like, I got to turn this fucking thing off. I can't.
I know, it's really distracting.
So they're talking about this initiation that the Felcha Delta sorority has, and it's supposed to be this sexy thing, and they all get naked and they all do this stuff and you know, whatever.
Well, they play off of people drawing comparisons to Revenge of the Nerds because they have the whole sorority, we're gonna do the Peeping Tom thing and
right. And yeah, this came out after Revenge of the Nerds and probably countless other like nerdy college, you know, sorority type movies from the 80s. Excuse me. So they leave their frat and they go to the Delta House. And as they're spying through the window, they see Babs, Frankie, and Rhonda, who are the current sorority girls. And they are
totally 80s names.
Babs especially. they are initiating two other girls, who is Lisa and Taffy, I believe was her name. So
it was just one person?
Lisa and Taffy.
You said a person who is Lisa and Taffy.
Whatever. Instead
of people.
Okay. Speak into the mic.
All right. Sorry.
So, okay, Lisa and Taffy are the two girls that are getting initiated into the Delta sorority. Babs, Frankie, and Rhonda are the current sorority girls. And basically, the initiation is getting spanked probably 20 or 30 times with a paddle. By other sorority sisters. And then having whipped cream sprayed on them to cool them down.
Yeah, definitely something that a bunch of women are going to do together.
So after, okay, the boys are spying on them. And then the two girls that get the whipped cream sprayed on them, they go upstairs and there's this extended shower scene. And you get your first set of boobs and you get your another set of boobs and the shower scene had to go on for probably 2 minutes.
Way longer than it needed to. And I'm pretty much assuming that they probably cut a lot of the main the main points about the film probably was dropped on the cutting room floor.
Just to keep the boobs in?
Yeah.
Well, this girl, Taffy, is, yeah, as we said, extended shower scene, washes her legs for what seems like a minute and a half.
She's standing in a bathtub with a shower wand. No shower curtain.
Right.
No reason why she would be having to stand up because she's spraying all walls and the floor around her. Like, just sit your ass down in the bathtub. Don't have a plug?
She doesn't have to pay for the house. She's just an initiate. She doesn't need to pay for it. She's not in the sorority yet.
And why does it seem like, you know, that that gag where they have the guy at the beach and he's washing his hair and then the guy is reaching over with the shampoo?
Yeah.
And it's making, that's how the whipped cream was for this girl, because it seemed like she was like multiplying amount of whipped cream on her just so she could spray the area off.
Yeah, she needed an extended, she needed more whipped cream, or the scene had to be extended just so she could be showering longer. No matter how much she washed, the whipped cream kept reappearing.
Don't forget the other girl who had to be naked to stand in front of the mirror and brush her hair.
Isn't that what you do? I don't know.
No.
You don't brush your girls naked?
No.
Girls meaning her wigs. She calls the wigs her girls.
I have to have my outfit put together before I can decide on one of my ladies.
Okay. Oh, now they're ladies?
They've
matured?
Yeah, they're more sophisticated.
Matured?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Well, thank you for keeping me in the loop. So, God damn. After she finally gets all the whipped cream wiped off of her, the three boys get caught by Babs spying on the two girls, Taffy and Lisa.
I can't believe, well, you had to really pay attention. I would not be able to like decipher who was what, like who was who character wise.
I had to look it up several times.
Okay.
I didn't just catch it on happenstance. I did have to look it up several times.
In my head, I feel like only potentially valuable information needs to be saved. And in my head...
Nothing in this movie was valuable enough to save?
No. Yeah, I'm just going to end there.
So, yeah, they get caught. The three boys get caught by Babs. Babs takes them all downstairs and decides that their punishment is that they have to sneak into a bowling alley to steal the championship bowling trophy.
The old sneaking into the bowling alley to get the championship bowling trophy.
And bring it back to, and bring it back to the sorority. And then if they can do that, the boys get to go free. They won't get punished, but the girls become the pledges in, what do you call that? Where the, pledges in training or initiates in training or whatever. So the five of them leave, the three boys and the two girls. They leave, they're driving down the road. Now, Calvin is obviously the nerd of the group. He has had a beer to drink and he is bombed off his ass. I think he had a Budweiser.
Yeah, they had that annoying like subplot that he keeps throwing up. It's like if you're throwing up from drinking one beer, then one vomit is enough to get all that beer out of you.
I would certainly think so.
Coming up. That sounds like a potential virus. So, okay. I would have that checked out.
Yeah, food poisoning possibly.
Yeah, could have been melanoma anything.
Or carcinoma, salmonella. That's what I'm looking for. So they go to the bowling alley and they all decide to split up. Cal goes one way, the two girls and two boys go another way. And then Cal finds Spider. Spider is played by Linnea Quigley. I don't know why I keep yawning. Spider is played by Linnea Quigley, and she is trying to break into a cash register and a pinball machine with a crowbar. She's trying to get in, get the money and the quarters and whatever.
She struck out at the cash register.
So that, yeah.
And then she's fiddling with the pinball machine. Like, and I think I made a comment, why in the hell would she just want a whole bunch of quarters?
If it's a popular pinball machine, there's probably a lot of money in
there. And she didn't even get that open.
Of course, they probably empty it at the end of every night, so it probably may not have been a worthy...
She's like the world's worst burglar.
And she had a crowbar, and it still didn't... Yeah. She still couldn't get
that
in.
Crowbar with your fingerprints all over it.
I think they have bigger fish to fry in a little bit. Oh, boy. In a little bit.
Oh, yeah. They probably had a volleyball court after the bowling alley.
So... The group ends up finding the trophy, and somehow it gets dropped. And after it gets dropped, it starts to smoke and flashing lights and everything. And then this little demon-looking, a ghoulie. It almost looked like a ghoulie, which okay. I think was also made by Full Moon Pictures.
This was what I was telling you when we were watching it, how I have the thought. I should write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So... This movie was made in the late 80s.
Correct.
It caught the tail end of a string of successful movies like E.T. and Alien, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
They had to have puppeteering or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up, I think they rounded all this off. And they had Elf on TV.
You had Critters.
They had Labyrinth.
Ghoulies.
Princess Bride.
Was there Critters in that one?
I'm not sure.
I don't think there was in that one. Definitely in
Labyrinth. Oh, no. I was thinking of the part where it's Carol Kane and Billy Crystal.
Oh, where there's like little...
Yeah, and they had that one guy people. That was like dressing the...
Okay.
The guy looked... I think he was a Monty Python guy or something.
Never-ending story.
Never-ending story. So there was...
The Dark Crystal.
There was definitely a sense that they wanted to capitalize off of the...
Fraggle Rock.
Yes, that too.
Okay.
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
So,
The Muppet Show.
Yeah. Sesame Street.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So they wanted to capitalize.
They wanted to capitalize on the whole wise-ass, cocky, talking creature genre.
Did we say Never Ending Story?
You just did.
Okay. Yeah, but that one too.
Yeah. Yeah. I got that.
All right. So, yes. Okay. So they capitalized on the smart ass creature.
Howard the Duck.
Was there a guy in Howard or was it just a puppet?
Oh, no. That was somebody, probably a little person that walked around in the Howard costume.
All right. So, okay. So, yes. This little demon imp. This little demon imp pops out of the trophy. Uncle Impy is his name, apparently. And
really?
That's what he said his name was.
Oh my gosh. And for 88, this movie is so
dumb.
Yeah. And just
so he grants a wish to each of the five kids that are there. One guy wishes for a bunch of gold, and he's yelling and dancing around, talking about how he's going to buy Porsches and Lamborghinis and Ferraris and, you know, beautiful women and, you know, Maseratis and houses and stuff.
There's really only the three characters from the whole, like nerd herd.
Mm-hmm.
And it was two dorks and a fat guy. I wouldn't be able to tell you which dork was which dork in the movie because they both looked like the exact same dork.
Okay.
But, It might be helpful if anybody in their right mind would ever want to watch this movie.
Jimmy was the big guy who wished for the gold.
Okay, yeah.
Cal was the one who wished for...
Dork one.
Or, I'm sorry, Keith was the one who wished for Lisa to have sex with him. She's the one that keeps, like, sexually assaulting him. And Cal was the one that was with Spider. Cal was the one that was barfing all the time.
Dork two.
Dork too. Yeah. So, and then let's see. Taffy was the prom queen, and Lisa was the one that was sexually assaulting Keith. Nailed it. Okay. So, yeah. Jimmy wishes for gold. Keith wishes for Lisa to go to bed with him, to sleep with him. And of course, because this is an imp granting the wishes.
This is a excruciating experience. The only thing more excruciating than having to suffer through this is you doing the research for it.
I didn't involve you in the research. So Taffy wishes to be a prom queen. And then,
you know, Taffy and I
don't know, man. I'm just going by what I didn't name him. So, okay. So
I have aside from you saying Taffy, I wouldn't be able to tell you what any of the girls' names were, or the guys.
I had to look it up. I didn't catch it on the movie, so that's why I looked it up. So anyway, they all get their wishes granted. And of course, because, you know, Uncle Impy is an imp, the wishes don't exactly go as they plan.
Should we point out that Uncle Impy has a very
racially stereotypical
way of talking, and
he sounds like a black man from Chicago that is like your stereotypical like pimp.
Yeah. But he, like,
fuck your mama. That guy.
You have to take that out.
Well, that was from
I was on a vacation.
Yeah.
I wasn't remembering that. Yeah. But I was going to mention the fact that it couldn't just be Impy.
Right.
Uncle Impy.
Right.
Another racial stereotype.
Oh, yes. Very.
Uncle Ben and.
Yeah.
Uncle
Tom.
And yeah.
So, yeah. Yes. The imp. But yeah. Definitely.
In 1988.
Hey, man. Yes. I don't know. So there's some weird fighting that goes on. Two of the sorority girls, Frankie and Rhonda, get turned into, Rhonda gets turned into what looks like the Bride of Frankenstein. And then Frankie gets like boils all over her face or something like that. So they start chasing after the girls. Babs runs off. Meanwhile,
you can imagine two of her. Oh my God.
So Keith and Lisa start getting frisky in the locker room of a bowling alley, which has got to stink. I can only imagine with all the shoe changing.
Oh, like you've never had a get down and dirty in the locker room of a bowling alley fantasy.
Do the bowling alleys we have around here even have locker rooms?
They do have lockers at Bolodrome.
But it's in a giant hall. It's not in a room. Yeah,
it's not like.
It's right at the entrance.
Yeah, for the athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. You like bowling. When we have beer. So Lisa starts getting very, very handsy with Keith. And meanwhile, let's see. Oh my gosh. Rhonda and Frankie attack Jimmy, who is the big guy, and they shove his head into a ball cleaner and then rip it off and bowl it down a lane. Spider and Cal now kind of team up, and they're running away from Frankie, and she chases them into a storage room, and somehow there was a gun in the storage room. I don't even know how this all came about. Oh, and there's a janitor. We totally forgot about that guy. What'd you say his name was from Back to the Future?
Was it Red, or?
Is it? I think it's Red.
I think it's Red,
That sounds familiar, but yeah, he's the one right at the end of Back to the Future when Marty comes back from the past to the future and drives into the movie theater. He's laying on the bench and he gets up and he's a crazy drunk drivers. That guy.
And so, two, it was the alternate reality and he said crazy pedestrians.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Crazy drunk pedestrians.
Oh, okay. So it's that guy.
What his purpose served for the entire movie?
He was a...
Oh, he gave them, like, the background of why everything was happening.
Yeah. He that was pretty much it.
He was basically the catalyst to it.
He said, is that a MacGuffin? I never remember what a MacGuffin is. A MacGuffin is something that progresses the story, but it's not... I don't remember the exact... I've never
heard that a day before in my life.
No?
Mm-mm.
No.
But sure. I didn't know what a mulligan was.
Oh, in golf?
Yeah, I golf.
Okay. Well, a MacGuffin is something that is used to progress the story in a movie. It doesn't necessarily, I don't think it necessarily has to be a main part of the story, but it has a place in the plot just to further the story, if I'm telling that correctly. Okay. So for all you cinephiles out there, you can hold me to that. I think that's what it is. But so anyway, there is a janitor and he gets locked in a storage room. Bippity boppity boo. He gets out, tells a story. La la la. So anyway, Spider and Cal kill Frankie, or maybe not, in the storage room. Taffy gets ripped in half, actually by Frankie and Lisa. Yeah, Lisa. No, Frankie and Rhonda.
I can't help you.
Keith has his head deep fried. Frankie attacks Babs behind the lanes, and Spider, and then Babs throws Frankie through the pin machines. Spider bowls a ball into her head. Is she dead? We don't know. Cal and Spider now go talk to the janitor, and this is where he regales them with a tale about a bad bowler named Dave who used some black magic voodoo something to conjure an imp in order to get better at bowling. So then he started bowling 300 games constantly or consistently.
What an intense plot line.
It is. It's deep, deep in plot.
Deep in something.
And then he tells Cal and Spider about how he's worked at the bowling alley for 30 years and that the only way to trap the imp is to put it back in something small or confined. And then he's
worked at a bowling alley for 30 years.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's better than being the hobo from Back to the Future. He's working for his money.
That was what, 1985?
Yes.
So maybe he got the job
after
Back to the Future, but by the time, because this was 1988.
But so, do you really think that he could have like rehabilitated to the point where he would be like?
Well, I mean, as a janitor, it's not like he's running like the CEO of a bowling corporation.
Yeah.
But that timeline wouldn't work because it was 1985 where he said crazy drunk drivers and he was a bum.
God, yeah. I see what you're saying now.
I was in my head. It would have
ruined the entire space-time continuum.
It would have skewed off one way and completely messed it up. So they talk to him and they find out that they got to put the imp back in something small and confined. Babs now is possessed by the imp and she ends up killing Lisa, we think, attacks Cal and Spider with a something. Cal throws a Molotov cocktail that him and Spider had put together. Babs ends up burning up, and Rhonda then attacks the janitor and kills him. Spider and Rhonda battle.
I bet that stuntman that did the fire scene got paid more than all of the actors.
It's a very distinct possibility. Yeah. Spider and Rhonda now battle. Spider cuts her head off, and as her head's flying through the air, it hits the front doors. The doors finally swing open, and they're not trapped anymore. Then Spider runs back in. Keep in mind, Spider is Linnea Quigley. So Spider runs back into the bowling alley, grabs this like coffee can or coffee tin or something, runs back out towards the imp, traps the imp in a in whatever this little container is, and Frankie meanwhile is strangling Cal in a car. Spider traps the imp, the car crashes, Spider and Cal ride off into the sunset together. My gosh, that was a difficult movie to talk about, not because it was convoluted or twisted and weird, it was just bad. It was a bad movie. Kirk, you dumb dummy. Sorry, man.
Can we ban him from doing making any more suggestions?
I don't know if we can kick him out of the Patreon or not.
Can we pay him to not do it anymore?
No. I mean, we love the guy because he's helping us out, but...
Not anymore.
Mark, please redeem yourself with another Dumplings-type pick. Nancy loved that movie. In fact, we watched it again, like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks ago? Yeah. But yeah, this movie is just, and I know you picked this one just because you wanted to, you guys love getting under Nancy's skin. Don't I think that's what it is. Like, you always give her the feedback and you're always like, ooh, let's see what Nancy thinks about this. Cause I think you guys, all you listeners, I think you think that I will watch anything. And maybe
you, you only got me to watch this for the show.
I wouldn't have ever watched this movie on my own. Oh,
wow. Okay.
Oh, no way. Nuh-uh. I mean, now see, okay, but see, you brought up in one of our just recently, you brought up one in one, hold on here. You brought up in one of our recent episodes that you didn't think that Serbian film was that bad. Now, I know they show it on Vudu, and that is the heavily edited version. There's three versions of that movie. There's a really heavily edited version, which is the one that's on Vudu. There's also two other versions, one that's kind of in the middle and one that's like fully uncut.
But this is back in the time, back in the days when, like, the Hannibal Holocaust, there's Cannibal Holocaust, right?
Yeah.
Did I say Hannibal? There wasn't really anything that risque in it.
Well, this one, no. Cannibal Holocaust was like 78, I think.
But didn't you say that it was like banned in a bunch of different places?
Yeah. They should ban this movie for how bad it is.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I mean, a Serbian film. See, they always talk about, you know, oh, what will Nancy watch? What will Nancy watch? So...
Get your mind out of the gutter.
So I'm wondering if at one point, is he going to suggest that you watch that? You said you could take it. I don't know if you could take the full movie. I mean, I know you'd watch it if we were doing it for the show. I know you'd never watch it if we were just like, oh, let's throw on a Serbian film. But I don't know. I'd be very interested to see what your thoughts are if you watch the whole movie. So that's my pick for you one of these days. But I think everybody... And why am I so tongue-tied? I think all of our listeners are very interested to hear what you have to say about these movies because, like I said, they think I'll watch anything. But I think they think that you're very much more opinionated.
Well, yeah. You think the Army of Darkness movie is like...
I don't like that movie. I've never liked that movie.
You're lying.
I do not like Army of Darkness. I have never liked Army of Darkness. Okay. I don't mind the first two. They're not my favorites, but I do not like Army of Darkness.
I don't like the horror movies with the shtick. I don't like when we were watching the opening credits and it said
creature effects.
I said, can't wait.
Yeah. What is he getting us into? No, I know. But like, so
I don't like that stuff. That's not a horror movie.
I get that. Okay, but okay, so like Creature from the Black Lagoon, would you consider that a horror movie?
The old one?
Yeah, the original. I mean, that's a creature movie, and technically Frankenstein is.
But they have like, you know, like the scary music and the setting and...
Decent acting.
Yeah. I mean, you had to be pretty good to get on screen back then.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, they'll just hire about anybody.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is that I mean, you would obviously consider those horror movies.
Yeah, they were groundbreaking.
Right. So, there's Kirk now.
Turn your phone off.
Yeah.
Turn your phone off.
$5.
Turn your phone off. Just kidding.
All right. So, I think we've said all we need to say with this movie. He wanted to know what you had to think about it. He very specifically said, Nancy's going to hate me. And yes, Kirk, she does. Hopefully next month or whatever month you're supposed to pick again, you will redeem yourself with a...
I'll give him a list of options that he can choose from.
I don't think that's
how it works. Lost his privilege. He lost his privilege.
See, what was his first pick? He picked Baskin, but then he picked Dumplin', and then he picked this one. Did he give us the first one? I don't remember, but... I don't know. But yeah, so long story short, this movie's a 1 on 1 from both of us. 1 on the gore score because there is no gore and the acting is horrible. So overall, yeah, it's a 1 on 1.
Yeah, good one, Kirk.
You know, maybe some people find this appealing because of the whole 80s aesthetic and the 80s campy, horrible acting.
You can get those things from such better movies. Not even better movies. Anything's better than this. You can get that from, like, you name your choice of 80s movies and they'll have something of value that is more significant than this movie.
Have we ever seen Critters? Or not Critters, but Ghoulies.
I know where you're going with this, and no, I don't want to watch it.
I'm just asking, have you seen it?
No, I don't think so. If I did, I don't remember.
See, I would think that would have been one that was right in your, like, 80s.
It was always, like, one of those, it was always one of the movies that was on the horror shelf at the rental place.
Yeah.
But I would walk right past it.
Oh, okay.
But right. To be fair, I also did that to April Fool's Day. The girl with the knife behind her, her back. That was another one. Some of them we just would walk right past, but we would get that image of the movie box, like, imprinted on our brains.
There was nothing better than going to the movie store and just looking at the cover art on all those movies.
Yeah. My mom and dad, well, my dad bitching that again, you're renting this movie again. Because there's no way we had it. That was the only way we could see something if we really liked the movie.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really start selling motion picture movies.
Oh, and if they did, they were so expensive. Yeah. Like $80 for a VHS. VHS when they first or started beta. Coming out.
Those were the options.
But yeah, walking through the movie store, like, because I didn't start watching horror. I mean, it would have been 9 or 10. And most of what I caught originally was on TV, but I'd always walk the horror shelves and look at the box art, you know, like the movie Bad Taste where the alien's given the bird. And
that's another one of the movies that I would walk right past.
Evil Dead 2 with the skull with the eyeballs. Yeah, I know you'd walk right past it.
Yeah. I guess, well, my taste is different than yours because... Yeah.
We've all heard you say it. You know good horror, and I just like everything.
I'm not going to say that. I'm just...
Yeah, this time you won't say it, because I called you out on it.
All right. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just saying... This obviously, movie is bad. Yeah. Obviously, we have two different, very different, differing styles of movies.
But the amazing thing is that we can come together and unite and say that this movie is... horrible.
We're like the black and white cookie on Seinfeld.
Yeah. We united in hatred of this movie. we grew a little bit closer because of this movie, Kirk. I don't know if that was your intention.
It worked, if it was. If not, it worked anyway.
He's a relationship genius.
You should charge people for this. Yeah. In a roundabout sort of way, we're saying thank you, Kark, for your patronage and and your pick. But no, seriously. So yeah, I am Ben. She is Nancy. Together, we are Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. I can say it fine in the end. So yeah, I am Ben. She is Nancy. Together, we are Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. You can find us on. You can find us on Instagram at @XHR_podcast. We are on all the major podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes. Actually, Stitcher will be shutting down as of August 31st, so you will no longer be able to listen on Stitcher. Sorry to any Stitcher fans. That was not our decision. That was theirs. But, you know, if you want to listen on Spotify and... while you're there, give us that 5-star rating. Or if you want to listen on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, do it there. But we're on Google Podcasts, CastBox, iHeartRadio, Amazon Radio, all sorts of different stuff. I don't know. Don't use this episode as an example to talk about your friends, too.
Oh, my gosh. I hope this isn't anybody's first episode.
But yeah, seriously, Kirk, thank you for your patronage. We appreciate the money, not your picks. God bless that boy, Mark Kirk from a podcast on Elm Street. But, yeah, we have a patron,
a patron.
Yeah. There's a podcast I listen to. I don't know why I listen to them, because they're annoying as fuck, but they say, oh, the Patronuses.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's really bad.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. I don't like them. I don't know why I listen to them. They're true crime, which, yeah. Nah. Long story short, yes, we do have a Patreon. Fudge. We do have a Patreon. $4, $6, and $8. You get some cool stuff in return. We got a TeePublic. It's also in the link tree on the bio and Instagram. I'm going to stop because for whatever reason, my mouth is not working.
Lucky me. Just kidding.
Be safe. Happy travels. Love one another as you do yourself. And something. Yeah, we're going on our honeymoon. Love you guys. Talk to y'all later. And to my wife, I'll hand the mic over so she can finally finish up and get us out of here.
If Pennsylvania's a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
By the time you hear this, there will have been earthquakes. All right, we'll talk to y'all later. Be good, guys. Bye.